Happy Friday. I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Warning, at the end of this podcast, I'm going to tell you that Rajiv Nigam story that I didn't tell you yesterday. It is devastating. You've been warned. Also, stop listening to me and go watch Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun or whatever it's called on Netflix. That show's awesome. I'll talk about that after the late night jokes. But this first joke from Trevor Noah, wow. Trevor said, Joe Biden is right. Does Donald Trump really want denying the election results to be his legacy? Because I'd like to remember him as the president who kidnapped kids and helped kill 240,000 Americans. Jimmy Fallon said, pretty soon we're going to need Vladimir Putin to stage an intervention. That's funny. Colbert said, he's like a toddler too hopped up on sugar to go to bed. There's no reasoning with him at this point. You just have to let him tire himself out, wait until he falls asleep on the kitchen floor, and hope he hasn't conspired with the dog to stage a coup. Mike Birbiglia tweeted, Trump can't concede because he didn't inherit a concession speech from his father. Chris Rock tweeted, why is it so hard for some people to believe that one guy got more votes by mail in a month than the other guy got for people showing up for one day? During a pandemic. All right, Auntie Donna. So I told you guys the Xbox came and I wasn't planning on watching any TV. Well, the Xbox came and I connected it and then I had to download some games to it. But, you know, there's like COVID and my kids do annoying things like go to school and stuff and they're hogging all the bandwidth. And I can't be like, can you stop trying to learn algebra? I need to download Forza Horizon 4. You can't do that. So I didn't get to play any games. So I was like, huh. What should I do with this unstructured free time? And I put on that Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun or whatever that I've been telling you about all week. It is amazing. It is my new favorite thing ever. I cannot evangelize for this thing enough. Are you hearing me? I loved it. I found it to be extremely original, extremely different, extremely funny. I was laughing out loud. I've told you about the Emperor of Rome thing I do. Sidebar. So running SiriusXM comedy for all those years, I would sit at my desk and for, you know, 10 hours a day, 5 days a week for a decade, I heard comedy bits and I heard the best of the best. So if it was George Carlin, it was George Carlin's best bits and the best version of those bits because it was the version he recorded. You do that all the time and you get numb to it and you stop laughing and your brain starts doing things like you'll hear a joke and you'll be like, oh, that was really funny. Oh, what a great, great writing there. Oh, such a good callback. And if you go to a comedy club, you'll see the same thing. If somebody's on stage, if you look in the back of the room, the other comics are all hanging out, not kind of judging, but sort of judging whoever's up on stage. And you'll see them, too, analyze the comedy and be like, oh, that was really good. Great joke. But nobody laughs. So if I'm actually sitting on the couch laughing at something as the Emperor of Rome, who's like, good writing, Auntie Donna. If I actually laugh, that lets you know it's funny. It's 6 episodes. They're like 20 minutes long. I can't encourage you enough to watch this thing. I watched it all in one sitting. I loved every second of it. Also, don't bail on the credits. Grab the remote and tell Netflix you want to see the credits because there are custom songs for every episode at the end. It took me a couple episodes to discover that, and then I had to go back. But fun songs at the end. And again, I just love this thing, and you heard me talk about it yesterday. I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of a show about three guys that live together in a house, but then sketches happen. And yeah, it's got a little Python in it, but not really. And I don't know. It's just awesome. Auntie Donna's House of Whatever, fun, big time, great, whatever. It's on Netflix. There's only one thing called Auntie Donna. You'll figure it out. Jeff Dunham is returning to Comedy Central for not one, not two, but 3 new comedy specials. The first one we knew about. It's called Jeff Dunham's Completely Unrehearsed Last Minute Pandemic Holiday Special. Love that title. It'll premiere over Thanksgiving weekend, Friday specifically, at 8 o'clock Eastern and Pacific. The other 2 specials, which we did not know about, will be released in 2021. Dunham gave the PR people a quote, and he allegedly said, this holiday season, it feels like the perfect fit being back on Comedy Central, and I couldn't be happier or even more honored. We all need a good laugh right now, and nothing is more important than doing that with family and friends, and maybe even with family members you can't stand. Okay, not them, never mind, just watch the damn special. Dunham also revealed the special will feature nearly all new, untried, or tested material. He said, not a single joke told by any of the characters except Peanut has been tried on anyone, not even my wife. But for Peanut's closer, I wanted to show off the classic bit that launched my career on TV in the early 90s. It's a family favorite. I remember at one point in the Sirius run, Dunham was like huge for like, there was like a month where like everything was like Jeff Dunham. And, you know, nice enough. Nice enough, but just to think back that he was like the biggest thing ever there for a little while. But yeah. Netflix announced the Netflix After Party. This is a weekly comedy after show to be hosted by David Spade. So what I'm getting here is if Netflix is pushing something, they'll have the stars of that thing on a David Spade late night type show. So I don't know, maybe if they were pushing The Crown, they'd have Olivia Colman hang out with David Spade. That's what I think here. The official description is a first of its kind weekly comedy panel show where comedians, casts, and creators come to chat about the streaming giant's buzziest shows and films. Dude, that's just Talking Dead. That is not the first of its kind. Each episode will be dedicated to one of the latest Netflix movies or TV shows to hit the cultural zeitgeist, with the stars of that title participating in interviews, pop culture discussions, sketches, and segments. Each week, the co-host will be joined by a different Netflix comedian to round out the panel. So here's my question. Say Netflix is like pushing Sarah Cooper, but in real life, when you go on and you see what's trending on Netflix, it's never Sarah Cooper. And if you look at Netflix's own top 10, it's never Sarah Cooper. But, you know, whoever the they is that's been pushing the Sarah Cooper thing, they really want it to happen. Will Sarah Cooper types get booked on the Netflix After Party? Because, you know, it's part of the zeitgeist, even though it's not in reality. And we now have like sort of proof of that. I digress. Spade said, "This show will be a blast. I'm looking forward to putting Netflix on the map. I'm huge in Tanzania, and they finally get me once a week. I got your letters, guys, and they've been answered." From TVLine.com, CBS is adding a fifth Chuck Lorre comedy to its lineup. This is The United States of Al. We've talked about this in the past, but now it's official. And what do you know? They happen to announce it on Veterans Day, which is a hell of a coincidence because The United States of Al focuses on the friendship between Riley, who's a Marine combat veteran struggling to readjust to civilian life in Ohio, and his friend Al, who's the interpreter who served with his unit in Afghanistan and has just arrived to start a new life in America, and now they have wacky hijinks together. Here's that Bert Kreischer thing I didn't get to yesterday. He was on Vulture's podcast, A Good One. I'm hit and miss with that pod, to be honest, but this was a particularly good episode. And Bert said, "I'll say a lot of my friends were bothered by Hannah Gatsby's Nanette." And I remember saying, "Hey, man, remember, people get bothered by what we do. We go, you don't have to watch if it's not for you. That also applies to what we watch." By the way, in that special, Hannah Gatsby had one of my favorite jokes of the whole year. This is Bert, not me, saying this, when she said, "When I was a kid growing up, I knew more facts about unicorns than I did homosexuals. Unicorns aren't real." And I went, "Oh my God, it's such a great joke." But I think Nanette was such a lightning rod for all of us because you watched it and you said, "I'm not laughing, but I'm still listening very attentively. And I'm still laughing every now and then. And then she's angry at me. And I actually know she's talking to me." That's the other part. When she was yelling, I think she was actually speaking to Bert Kreischer. So part of you is like, "Hey, I'm not that bad, am I?" It made you think in a way that made you uncomfortable, which is so brilliant for stand-up. Bill Burr gets to do it when he says, "I don't support the troops," and everybody's like, "What?" But Bill does it in the way Bill does it, and Hannah does it in the way she does it, and it was effective, and it gave a voice to a bunch of people that maybe I think us as bro comics, maybe we're ignoring or sometimes writing off and going, "Whatever I could say that word doesn't mean what you think it means. It means exactly what you think it means, and I'm sorry." Well, I did mention Sarah Cooper recently, right? She spoke to some students at Northwestern University. She said, "I didn't see it coming. I was definitely about to move on from comedy and try something else. Really gave me a lot of confidence that I could make something that people would like. That first video that went viral, I had made it in a few hours. I didn't think about it that hard. I just kind of put it together." She says to go viral, you don't need a huge platform. She recommends making something that speaks to you personally, saying, "It's all about the content. If the content is good, it will go viral on its own." And looking to her own future, she says, "It's fun making things, but being able to reach a lot of people is something that really has always excited me." Tim Heidecker has written an ode to Rudy Giuliani's Four Seasons appearance. You can find that in phillyvoice.com. I was going to read lyrics, or I couldn't figure out how to do anything with this. So it's Tim Heidecker. Go to phillyvoice.com. You'll find it. And the Melbourne Fringe Festival has opened. I'm excited for that. Not that I expect many of you to make it to Melbourne, Australia. I don't even think they will let outsiders in right now, unless you're listening to me in New Zealand. I think you guys can get in, but it's nice to see a comedy festival open at all. From newstalk.com, two Irish comedians have dismissed any suggestion that men are categorically funnier than women. This comes after comments from veteran British talk show host Michael Parkinson. He claimed men are, quote, much better than women in their sense of humor. Mr. Parkinson, who's 85 years old, was interviewed with Australian magazine Stellar, and he said, "Most men I know, they're very sensitive and also very funny. That's the thing I like about men. It's a very contentious statement, but they're much better than women in their sense of humor. There you are, that will get me. If I were on any social media channels, I would be in trouble right now." The comedians who questioned his comments said, "I have a bit of an eye roll when I hear it, but I also know he is plugging a book at the moment. In fairness to Michael Parkinson, when he was at the height of his chat show, there probably were a lot more male comedians than female comedians. But I just don't think anyone, Sir Michael or not, can say men categorically are funnier than females or the other way around. If you're funny, you're funny." I'll chime in here. Yes, if you're funny, you're funny. The two best comedy specials of the year so far are 1, Sam J, 2, Hannah Gatsby's Douglas, and the worst comedy special of the year is Sarah Cooper. If you're funny, you're funny. If you're not funny, you're not funny. Steve Cummins, who's a comedian and co-founder of ZoomParty.ie, he expressed his disappointment with Mr. Parkinson's comments, saying, "I can certainly name 5 or 6 Irish female comedians working at the minute who that are considerably funnier than me. Emma Doran's amazing. Julie J's amazing. Joanne McNally is just ripping it up here and abroad." I was gutted to hear Michael Parkinson say those words. I have huge respect for the man. He's been amazing for so many years. I hope he's just doing it to sell a book. All right. I'm going to tell you the really crushing story. You've been warned. So if you want to punch out now, you can do that. Normal episode tomorrow, and you know to subscribe and all that. Everybody still with me? This is really hard. I'm not being a douche here. I read this and I was like, wow. And it floored me. From ndtv.com. Comedian actor Rajiv Nigam, best known for being featured in the Great Indian Laughter Challenge 2, shared an emotional note on his Facebook profile over the weekend. The comedian, on his own birthday, lost his son Devraj. Sharing a cherished memory in the form of a throwback picture with his son, Rajiv wrote, and I think there may be a translation here that, let me just read it. I'm not judging. I'm just wondering if the translation here. Here's a quote. "What a surprise birthday gift. My son left today without even cutting my birthday cake. Who gives a gift like this?" Isn't that just devastating? 2 years ago, the comedian had shared that his son was critical and was on a ventilator. He had asked his well-wishers to pray for his son's better health. Rajiv had reportedly returned to his hometown due to his son's deteriorating health. Let me read that to you again. "What a surprise birthday gift. Without even cutting my birthday cake, who gives a gift like this?" It's devastating. Where do I go from there? I'll just wrap it up. I'll see you guys tomorrow.